Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows. Only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
Hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. With me today, I have a very special guest here with me. I have the actors, the director, the producer of A Forest Through the Trees, and I'm excited to have everyone here for this interview. I've been excited all week to talk about this, so let's go on ahead. Let's welcome them to the show, and let's do it.
Hey,
John, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How about you guys? How are you all doing? You guys looking great.
Great.
So how was everyone's new year? Just wanted to get that out there first.
So far so good. We're so 3 days in and so far everything's going good.
That's great. So I'm gonna ask you guys some questions real quick, and this is the one that I wanted to ask you. So can you guys tell me, this is for everybody, can you tell me the first thing you saw in the other that made you say to yourselves, this is the scene partner for this project?
I don't
know how to answer that, because there's so many different scene partners, you know, that we had and throughout the whole movie. So is that what you're asking?
Yeah. What would you saw in somebody that you might have not seen before that you have to give props to?
So much. I mean, just like with Annie, I mean, me and Olivia, we've been together so many times. I knew what to expect from her. I knew she was going to bring everything that she always has. But when Annie, you know, I get on set with Annie, not knowing her, never meeting her and stuff. She is unbelievable. I mean, just everything about her, she had everything ready to go. Her emotions were in check. I mean, everything was just fantastic. And then Scott, he's just creepy as hell. I don't know.
He was very creepy in that movie.
He's adorable. What am I saying? No,
he's adorable.
You know what? When I found out that Scott had never, ever been in front of the camera, you know, on screen. Yeah. Did it worry me? Not worried me, because I watched his audition, fantastic. And then when he got on set and when he got in front of the camera and the first time I watched him perform, it was like, damn. I mean, I was pissed off because it's like, he ain't never done this before. Here I am doing it so many different times. He just walks up here and like it's a natural. So it was amazing. So yeah, every time that we got in, every screen or every on-screen person that I worked with was fantastic. I mean, it was just, I mean, this whole movie set was fantastic. To me.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like we all clicked really quickly, which was really nice. Cause sometimes I feel like you get on set and it's not awkward, but you're like, hello. Like it just feels like you're a little wary of each other. Whereas on this set, I didn't feel like that at all, honestly, with anybody. I feel like we all got along really quickly, and that showed in our work on screen, and we meshed on off camera, which was really, really a lucky circumstance to be in. And I feel like we all just kind of knew really immediately, like, okay, we can do this. This is great.
Yeah.
And I have to give props to Annie for not laughing, because the first night that we were there, she and I sat around most of the night just talking and laughing and getting to know each other. And then our very first scene was where she's chained to the wall and I'm having to torture her. And when I went into the little voice, I just knew she was going to start laughing and crack me up. And she didn't. She maintained it. And I thought, oh, thank God. I don't know if I'm going to get through this if she starts laughing. Yeah.
I was shocked by your voice, Scott. I was like, oh my God. I just had to hold it in. But I can't imagine Julian any other way. Like, I think that
oh,
was a
no.
Same.
Fantastic.
No. No.
Yeah, I feel like I obviously knew what to expect with James, but with Annie, I did feel like a sense of presence when we were in the scene, and I love that so much. Cause it, I feel like a lot of times, like, you're getting with your scene partner and you can just tell they're like working through things, but I did feel very grounded and aligned, like, in every scene that we were together in. And then, yeah, Scott was just incredible. And it's almost intimidating because I feel like you had this character so figured out and well-rounded. And I feel like with Ava, I kind of had to, like, I knew what I wanted from her, but I had to, like, find it in the scenes, but you had already created something so beautiful and so powerful, and it's hard to not get in your head as an actor. Like, your ego kind of comes in and you're like, fuck, he's got this figured out, so like I need to step it up. So well, yeah, I mean, it was just incredible. And awesome. Yeah, you're the star for sure.
You definitely found Ava, because when I was right in your face being so intimidating and you started to cry,
yeah.
When I saw those tears, I thought, oh, it's working, and oh, this is going great. Let's keep going.
That was actually one of my favorite parts of
Me too.
Those moments, like, I know that we were connecting truly. Like, I know that you were present. I know that I was present, and like, I felt you. And I like see that. I feel like those moments shine through in the film. You can kind of like go through and pick when each character, when they're actually connecting, like when there's life in the frame. And that was definitely one of them. Like, I think it shines through.
Absolutely. I loved it.
I think that's probably one of my favorite scenes.
Yeah.
That scene.
Intense and amazing and full. Yeah.
And that was the night that we had to reshoot. It was the last day of week two.
Yep.
We had to reschedule because we were rained out week one.
Oh wow.
That was the day that we
I called
you three over to Carla's house, and we went through the script and like changed some stuff. And then we we freaked out poor Charlie, because we roll up on set and we're like, okay, we're doing this completely different.
No, yeah. And also that's like something to be said, because I feel like if you don't have someone that's experienced and also just like entrusting in you, like what we were doing then without communicating well could have really fucked somebody's head up.
It could have, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So Charlie was just like, all right, let's do it. That's fine.
I know. I forgot we had to do that. I don't know why that totally left my brain. I totally forgot.
Yeah.
Trauma.
Trauma. Trauma. Yeah. Like, if that was me, I'd be like, oh shit, I'm going to be dropping a deuce here in my pants because I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
We had to do it because what we had scheduled for that makeup day was way too much.
Yeah.
To do with the time that we had allotted. So we had to take an hour or two to you know, just kind of call. And we were doing a company move. We were, you know, going like traveling like something like 100 miles or something like that. But, we just had to, condense what we were shooting, cut some stuff and combine some stuff. That there was actually like an, if you read the script, there's probably another good 2 pages, there that we combined and didn't shoot, just because we didn't have the time. But I actually think that it ended up a lot better, more streamlined. And they had they spent like probably an hour and a half to 2 hours just going over the lines, at Carla's house before they went to set. And when they came on set, they just went it's crazy, because like we cut full paragraphs and we combined paragraphs, and like they didn't miss a freaking word.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
It was great. How you know you have great actors when they give you 110% and they're invested into everything that you're doing. And I'll say this again, Jason. I mean, you have some great talent here. Like when I saw this shared universe that you created within this movie, I'm like, wait, you got Marilyn in here? Okay, something big's probably gonna happen with her. You're not gonna have characters in here for the sake of having characters in here or maybe actors in here. They all serve a purpose. So you have like this one huge Jason Pitts shared universe that I really like. That you always keep the same actors that you know that you're going to get the best out of. And I have to commend you for that because you're like Tarantino of the indie world right now.
Or Tim Burton. Tim Burton keeps all the same actors too in all his movies.
Yeah. That's right.
But, my friend Josh from the Midnight Cinema
said, "What's not broke, you know?"
Yeah. Exactly, man. Exactly. But my friend from the Midnight Cinema says greetings and congratulations on the film. He commented over in Instagram. Marilyn's in the chat right now. She says that she loves y'all.
Oh, love you, Marilyn.
Showing some love. But so my question for you, Charlie, is this. So what would be, so that was probably the most challenging part of that day, right? Is probably doing that, or was it the traveling? What was the biggest challenge for you?
I would say the biggest challenge was the company move. Anytime you have to tear down a set, load it all into a van where it's safe to travel, go, I think Jason's right, it was probably 100 miles, about 2-hour drive through North Arkansas, and we have to completely reset up another location, you know. That's as a DP and working with the gaffer and stuff like that. That's a lot of worry, you know, to try to make sure that everybody's not waiting on you and lights and this and that, you know. And everybody I've worked with before, they know the longer I work with them, the more picky I get on my lighting. So, you know, I may spend 5 minutes. I'm like, hey, let me get this light on this leaf in the background because we need the depth. And they're just like, it's leaves. And I'm just like, but it's going to look great. As far as, you know, Jason coming on and going, hey, we're going to, you know, switch the stuff around. It makes you kind of, you know, pause for a second. But when he told me how we were going to do it, he laid out the strategy that he had in mind. I was like, wow, that's going to streamline everything so, so much. And it did. I mean, we knocked that out so fast. And for a DP, when we think about something like, oh, we cut a page, and a half, 2 pages. I'm like, how is the talent going to remember, you know, how are they going to jump around going, okay, this whole section's gone, this is going to do this. And when we sat down and they started going through it, and I was working with Stephen Willett, who was running our B cam, we would share little looks like, man, they have this. They were on it. They were ready to go. And that made our job so much more easier behind the camera.
Right. And that's something that I have to say is really interesting about this film is, it's like they didn't even miss a beat. Everything was, I was solely invested in. And you can, even though you guys had to drive about, what, an hour you said, or 2 hours, it didn't even, here's the thing, it felt like the actors and actresses within this movie itself knew what their job was. They gave you 110%, and I loved every single moment of it. Because I feel like, yeah, you might have some scenery that might be missing from one scene and might throw the actor or actress off to the point where it's like, well, I don't know how to present myself. I don't know how to find this character again, or I don't know where my character is supposed to be. But within this, everybody had their beats and they actually owned it and they knew what they were doing.
Well, I'm not gonna speak. I won't speak for all the actors, but as far as me goes, and something like that right there goes, it's all on Charlie to make us feel comfortable in the scene. And he does it better than anybody I've ever been with in my entire life. I've shot a lot of movies. But his crew did the work of a 30 crew member. That, I mean, literally, he did it with a very, very small crew. And he did the work so fast that we didn't have to get out of character a lot. The work that he was doing behind the scenes, it just makes everything flow so much better and makes us as actors better because we don't have to worry about it. We know everything is going to be there and be right. The light, this man can make a moon in the sky. Come on. How many people can do that? This is, I mean, Charlie, I swear to you, man, you are the best DP's lighting guy I've ever met in my entire life.
Thank you.
I want to add on to that because he mentioned making people feel comfortable. I had my 3-month-old on set, and I felt so loved and supported and comfortable. And that's only because the cast and crew understood and supported me throughout the entire filmmaking process. Like, everyone went above and beyond to make sure that I was comfortable, to make sure that there were some times that, like, I had to, like, leave and go feed my baby, or maybe I was getting back from hair and makeup a little bit late, or there was just so many instances where I feel like it could have been taken the wrong way, or I could have been made to feel like I wasn't prioritizing the film, and I was never made to feel that way, and that, like, I will never, ever forget it. So I'm so
grateful. You are the queen.
You can ever find you. Yeah.
You are
the
queen.
And my baby thanks you, too, because he got to eat.
I love that little man. That little man loved me. So
I know he did. That was another thing. Everyone just, like, took turns, like, holding the baby, too. Like, okay, mommy's working in this scene, so take the baby. Like, that's just so beautiful.
Yeah. That's awesome, though. Like, I've never seen a movie set to where you can actually take your baby with you and take care of your baby while being on work.
Yeah.
That's a great thing.
It was hard, but it was amazing. Yeah.
It was very hard. And I like, it's not a normal thing. I think if it wasn't just for how close knit our casting, the core of our cast and crew was, like, we call ourselves a film family. Like we really are like that. And if it wasn't for that, like, I would not recommend doing it, like, on another.
Don't. Sucks. Don't do it.
Well, thank God for mommy, too.
I'm glad
your mom
did.
Your mom was such a big help.
Olivia's mom came down, was a huge help.
We had a set.
Yeah.
That's sweet. I like that. I like a family within the behind the scenes as well, though, because that's what it feels like even on screen, even though Scott's scaring the hell out of people. But still, it still works. That's one of the things that I love about what Jason does. And so my other thing is this, okay? So I want to talk about this real quick. So I know this was your first time working with Jason. Is that correct, Annie?
This was my first time working with Jason, as a director, yes.
So my thing is this, when you got the script, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what made you say, okay, this was the script for me. I want to work with Jason Pitts. This is actually what I want to do. Was it the writing? Was it the way he treated his characters? What was it that said yes to this?
The first time I read the script, I am someone who doesn't, well, I used to, okay. Amendum. I used to hate horror. I didn't like scary movies. I'm very easily freaked out. So the first time I read the script, I honestly thought, I'm not sure if I'm the right person for this, because I was like, this is so freaky. This is very out of my comfort zone. This is very, like, much not something I've done before. But I really admired the way Jason worked on the first set that I met him on. And I really admired how calm he was and how trusting he was of everyone and how loving he was of everyone around him. And I thought to myself, you know, what better person to be around when I'm getting out of my comfort zone than Jason? And this is something that's going to push me as an actor and as a person. And I just felt very comfortable and trusting of him. And I think about it now and I'm so beyond thankful that this was something I got to be a part of, because Jason knows I text him about, like, different horror movies I watch now. And I'm like, I loved it. This is amazing. It's so cool. I'm watching this tonight. Like, this very much opened something within myself that I didn't know was there. And I can't imagine not being a part of it now that I have been. And I honestly think just Jason as a writer and as a person and how passionate and kind and amazing he is what drew me to say yes to something that initially made me kind of uncomfortable.
I don't blame you, because,
I'm so excited because she loves horror now. Like, every couple of days I get a text from her and says, oh my God, I just saw, like, Smile 2. I love Smile.
Jason, my sister got me a Sky Riley t-shirt from Smile 2.
I saw.
Let's see here. The unnamed horror podcast said.
She's campaigning to be in Smile 3 now.
I am.
She has my vote. She has my vote for that.
Please let me in it.
But the Unnamed Horror Podcast says, my favorite movie, folks. Good evening, everybody. I'm loving you in Dress to Kill.
Mm. Yeah, Lifetime movie I'm in is airing right now. I'm watching it in a couple hours after this, but it's airing right now, and I'm so excited.
Congratulations. I love the fact that you like to watch your own movies and everything, because I know some people are like, well, I don't want to watch my own movies because I'm afraid that I'm going to be my own worst critic. But I love the fact that you, yeah.
Yeah, I used to hate watching myself. I was like, I would think, is that how I sound? I'm like, that was my voice, sounds like. Whereas now I like it because I can see myself grow from project to project. And as I've gotten more confident and got more comfortable, I think it's really fun to be able to see myself be different in every single project. So it's nice now. But yeah, definitely a few years ago, I'd have been like, no, I don't want to see it.
But Olivia, the thing that I loved was there was something more to your character. And you played layers. I saw you in Masquerade. That was my first time doing the interview with you, and I remember, like, there's something more to this character. I'll tell you what, Jason was playing mind games with me the whole entire time in this movie. To the point I'm like,
he did that.
Was it easy for you? My question is this. I'm not going to go into spoilers because it's a non-spoiler interview, but was it challenging or was it easy for you to turn on that light of, like, okay, the twist is coming. Was that hard for you to be able to do that while also trying to be the love interest at the same time? Because it's very complex on how to do that.
Right. I felt like I battled with it not. I went through a lot of things with her. I really at first battled with thinking that it wasn't going to be a challenge. And like, I was like bored with her a little bit. But then I realized there was so many layers that I was able to peel back. And there was so many opportunities for me to really delve into just being the emotional support and love interest. So that the journey that we take later has more of an impact. So I felt like I got really self-conscious about it seeming like I didn't have range within her in the beginning, but then having to just like drop all of that and any preconceived notions that I might have and any ego that I had, and really just like dive into being present with her and doing what she needed to do for the end result. And that was the only way that I could play her. I tried to make it more complicated and it was like not happening. So I think as soon as I just like gave in to her and allowed her and I to meet on the journey, then it worked out. So it was hard.
I agree.
It was in my head. My head was the hardest part. Yeah.
But you know what though? I agree though, because it seemed like it was very simplistic, with the way that your character is.
Yeah.
And everything. And I think that
sometimes. I don't know. Yeah. It was different, and like I don't know, but I found her eventually.
Scott. So this is also your first time acting, right? Or have you been in other projects?
My first time in film. Okay. I've been acting on stage since I was 16, but I've never been in a movie before.
Okay.
So it was an entirely new medium for me, yeah, to suddenly have a mic right in front of my face instead of being, you know, feet yards and yards away from the audience, yeah.
Okay. So now this is something else I wanted to ask you guys, okay? And I've been thinking about this all week. So, and I wanted to find out what you guys think of this question. So what is something you observed in the past that you back pocketed and stored it away for future projects? But also, what is something with the approach with directing, making art, leading a set that is uniquely your own that says this is a Jason Pitts production?
So I grew up with these types of films, and you know, the first part of your question, something that I saw or have witnessed and have always carried with me. There's a lot of familiar imagery in this film in particular, that I wanted to use on purpose so that horror fans, when they're watching it, it feels familiar, but it's also something new at the same time. an example of that, because it's not really a spoiler, is Julian, Scott's character. That character is modeled after Reverend Kane from Poltergeist 2.
Which I made that reference to in the review.
You did. A lot of people, a lot of the people reviewing it are catching it. So, it's all coming together.
But yeah.
There's a couple other things in there, that haven't been spoiled yet that the imagery is inspired by, popular past horror films as well. But that's the big one, Reverend Kane, and who was played by Julian Beck, hence the name Julian, kind of paying homage to that character. Something that is kind of uniquely, a Jason Pitts film. I think, you're always going to have some type of twist. I think that my style is kind of like a mix between Wes Craven and Mike Allman. Like, take them two guys together, mash them, and like, there's always going to be some kind of twist at the end. I really like themes, where the whole story and all the characters are all kind of, developed around a central specific theme. Which is one of the things that Wes Craven did a lot. And like really good characters and good acting. I think that's something I'm pretty decent at.
But James, I know that you've worked with Jason plenty of times.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. The thing that I found interesting, I know we talked about this behind the scene before we started, but I want to talk more about that. Like, for you, when you read the script, it was more of the fact of you're playing this fatherly role, mm-hmm. to a girl who doesn't really get the stepfather aspect or anything. Because she knows that she's not biologically yours.
Yeah.
And so was that something that you felt like, okay, this is relatable to me, so therefore I think that I can play this character the way Jason wants me to play it? Or was
when I started reading the script, I mean, when you can read a script and parts of it makes you cry, makes you emotional, I knew reading the script before I even had, you know, well, when he told me that he had made a movie and me and Olivia were definitely in it and he was going to be, that I didn't know what to expect. But when I read the script and it hit me as way it did, because I am a dad of, you know, stepchildren and stuff, and it hit me hard. But Jason, the way he writes, it tears you up. I mean, there's deeper things to Jason than I think he even knows. And it's going to come out later because the man is brilliant. But I'm just saying he is absolutely brilliant when it comes to writing. And I love everything, every aspect, how he plays home or shows favoritism to other horror films, you know, giving homage to different horror films. He loves the genre so much that even in like Voorhees Night of the Beast or this one, or, you know, there's just different little things that people can catch in the movie that makes it worthwhile. But for me, reading that script and then meeting the cast and seeing Annie and looking at her as a daughter this entire time, and me and Olivia already have a connection that every time we get in front of each other, I mean, we just make each other better. I think it's just, I don't know. It's that's how deep that this thing goes. And I think it's going to be, people are going to love this film.
I think so too. I think people are going to get what, here's the thing. I feel like horror, it has different layers to it, right?
Sure it does.
It's a one place where you meet death, in a sense, where you meet death face to face. You're going through trauma. You have characters going through trauma. You have characters that are trying to find the balance between the dark and the light and try to find darkness outside that light. Because sometimes darkness finds the light. But, you know, I think that's one of the beautiful things about horror is, yeah, it can scare the shit out of you. But at the same time, though, you can have that balance of light and darkness to the point where, you can play these complex characters and you can come out of that light as a different person.
Sure.
And I think that that's one of the things that Jason captures is the fact that, you know what, these characters had some dark times. Like, for instance, with Annie's character, your character, James, where you guys weren't getting along. And let's say, for instance, that maybe, let's say that there's like an extended cut or something within Jason's mind where it's like maybe something might actually develop later on to show a father and daughter dynamic of like, look, we weren't the same people going into this, but we're coming out in a different way. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I really loved about the writing of it is, you know, you have something dark being taken place because of Scott's character. And coming in uninvited, taking someone's trauma, and then the wife is gone.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Now it's just you and this daughter that don't get along, and it's like, how do I find my place within this, and how does she find her place as well? And the only people that I can rely on is my best friend, who also is my lover. How do I go on ahead and balance all this out? So I think that you hit on all cylinders. Whenever you look at Jason, you're hitting on all every single note within this, inside the writing itself.
Each character has so many different layers. I mean, it's just like my character, Annie's character, Olivia's and Scott's, and even more of the actors. There's so many layers to our character that we try to show. You know, the PTSD, just to be a husband, to be a dad, to be. You know, drowning in sorrow or whatever else. There's so many layers to each character and how Jason brought it out in us. And trust me, this is not easy. We did not film this in from the beginning to the end. We filmed this all over the place.
We straight up filmed it backwards. The first week was the third act. The second week was the second act. And the first week was the first act. We straight up filmed the movie backwards.
It is crazy.
Girl, that was,
I can see the files on Charlie's desk or something, and the production team's like, okay, which one is the beginning? Which was the middle? Which was the end? And I'm having to scramble everything together like a puzzle just to try and fit this in.
Go ahead, Annie.
I was gonna say, I remember getting the schedule and thinking,
I did the same thing. It's like, we're filming this backwards? We're filming
I fly in from Los Angeles. I get picked up and driven to this like camp. And they're like, okay, we're filming the climax right now. I'm like, oh my God.
That's crazy. Like, how
y'all,
are we doing this?
I literally, my bags were lost. I didn't even have and I had no clothes, no nothing. And then the next day I'm like, okay, it's fine. We're just going to film the movie,
the scene, right? And we're going to film all night long. We're filming like opposite. We're not filming during the day. We're filming at night.
All night long.
Which is like the toughest thing to film is at night.
That first week was brutal.
All night long.
And we were dodging rain. Like it rained all day while we're sleeping. And then let, like, all 4 days was the same. It would let up literally like 10 minutes before we start shooting.
But we got so lucky on the weather.
We got so lucky, man.
Just that one day, you know,
that one tornadic activity day.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah, we had to shoot it backwards because of the way the locations panned out. There were certain locations that we only had that 1 week to be able to be there, and that's just the way it worked out. And you know, shooting films, it's very, very hardly ever sequential anyway. So it worked out. It worked out.
I will say, sorry to interrupt you, with the way our relationships changed, it was kind of nice to film the parts when we were the most distant first, because we are still getting to know each other. So that, not awkwardness, but that inherent, like, oh, I don't really know you that well, I felt like fueled where we were at in the film. Whereas then, you know, where me and Olivia clicked pretty quickly, but like there was definitely the first couple of days, we're like, we don't really know each other. I feel like it was really nice to be able to film those parts when we were so close later, because then we actually were close. It got translated.
Yeah.
It really worked out.
I can see that. I can definitely see that. The Unnamed Horror Podcast also says, we need to make Julianne next year's big Halloween costume. I said that in the behind the scenes as well. Let's see. They also said, as a stepdad myself, James' performance was incredible. I saw myself and Ken many times watching this movie. Same here as well, as a stepfather to 20-year-olds as well. I definitely can relate to that as well.
We feel like there's a lot of people out there that will relate to Ken.
I think the relatability with anything, I think that they can find themselves either in Olivia's character or Annie's character, any one of y'all's characters. I think they can find somewhere where they can say, hey, look, I'm this kind of person. Or it could be where it's like, okay, well, I'm not this person, but I have a little bit of every character in me as well.
I relate the most to Scott's character.
I was waiting for someone to say that they relate to his character.
He's the most grounded for sure.
Yeah, very grounded, you know, very caring.
You know, murdering people comes so easily for me. It's not a stretch.
He played on his own life experiences.
Right.
The world just came very easy.
Very demure, very mindful.
Mindful, very
mindful. Period. Just think and cut.
So this is my other thing I wanted to ask you guys too. I love hearing the random unexpected magic that happens in the moment. So was there ever a day on set that doesn't go into plan?
Yes.
Oh.
Every one of them.
Yeah.
The big one I think for me is day one. Day one, when we go to put Annie's contact in.
Oh.
Whoa.
Oh.
The way I'm like.
That gave me so much anxiety. I mean, it's like, oh my goodness.
So we're getting Annie ready for the first scene that she's in, and somehow our contact, because you know the character has heterochromia, one eye's brown and one eye's blue. And we ordered contacts like 6 months in advance, probably even more than that, for her right eye brown contacts. And we're there, we're on location, we're getting her ready, and we can't find the brown contacts. They were put with the demon contacts and the zombie contacts, but her brown contacts somehow just disappeared. And to this day, we still don't know where it went. But it's one of those blessings in disguise things. I had a panic attack, and I like went off by myself, and I just was like thinking to myself, like, how do we fix this? And I have a friend named Chuck Meir, who is amazing at visual effects. So I called
him, and
I told him the situation. I said, "What, like, can you help us with this?" And he's like, yeah, I think I can. So he was able to color her right eye in post-production brown through the entire film. And when you think about that, that's every time her face is on camera, every frame, he had to track that eye and color it brown. What he did on this film is absolutely incredible. Plus, on top of that, being forced to use VFX. It started, I'm thankful that it happened day one, because throughout the film, like every time I had an opportunity, since I was now open to using VFX, because that wasn't the original plan, but I started thinking of other ways to use it. And we got some pretty cool shots because of it.
That's pretty interesting, because I didn't even notice that it was actually digitalized in, basically. That's pretty amazing, dude. Like, mm-hmm. I never seen anybody have that kind of craftsmanship to do something like that. It just goes to show you how important characterization is to the characters that you make. You know? So there is another thing I wanted to know too from you. Is there any particular scene that you ever shot where you have a moment in your acting career where you're like, damn, that was tough, but I crushed it and I'm so proud of it?
Running out in that towel. Yeah, that was it.
No. Yeah, you laid that.
You crushed it.
Yep.
See, I missed that. I was shooting the high angle from the attic, and I didn't even get to see that whole scene. So I missed it.
Trust me, Charlie, you didn't miss nothing, buddy.
You didn't.
But I had a whole audience out there watching that scene. And it's like, I'm up here going, it was weird.
Tommy.
I'm looking at like 25 different people with cameras going,
you know, I wasn't even in the scene. I was done for the day, and I stood out there and watched every single thing.
But yeah, there was some scenes. To get on a real note now, there was some scenes that I took away that was like, man, I really did that really well, you know. But it took me a while after I had to come down from that emotional. It was just any emotional scene. I think that you see yourself in, you know, probably one, you're going to say, I wish I could have done, there's things I could have done better. You're always going to say that about yourself, I'm pretty sure. But when you watch it back and it's like, wow, you know, I think I'm going to make an impact here, you know, and if I say that about myself, then I think that's pretty good. And that I still, it's the people I work with, you know, Annie brought stuff out in me. Cause I swear to God, I mean, I looked at her as my daughter. I mean, I did. And then when Olivia, anytime she gets up in my face, I mean, she brings out, I mean, she can piss me off. I mean, she really can. And back up, Ken, you know, it's like, you know, it's that brother sister kind of thing that is just, but I love her so much. I loved all my cast and crew, and it's just, I can't speak highly enough for them.
That's awesome. But what about for anybody else? Was there like any moments for y'all that you felt that same way, or, you know, I'm just kind of wondering.
I feel like the dynamic between me and James, was so lovely. Without spoiling anything, there's a scene kind of in the middle of the film where we have a big change, within our relationship of each other, and it's super climactic and it's super important. And I will say, when I read the script, I was nervous about it because I knew that I would really have to push myself and really have to give it my all. And when we were shooting it, it took a long time because it's a big scene and there were so many people in the scene. So there is so many people to cover. So, and I wanted to give the same performance every time because I feel like it was important for the people around me. So I, by the end of the day, had been like, so worked up for so long that I felt like I was going to throw up. But like, that's what was required for the day. And that was a scene where I felt very happy and proud of myself because it's hard to get to those vulnerable places, especially in front of like 30 people. And they're like, action. I'm like, ah! Like, it's hard to like bring that within yourself. But I was very happy that I had the people around me that could bring that out. And I think James played a big part in that with me because how just loving and kind and wonderful he was and how quickly we connected and how much love and care I have for him. It helped me get to that place because I could take that with Ken, but also just with Annie and James. So I have to attribute a lot of that to him for sure.
That's great.
The thing that I was really proud of is when I'm evilly teasing Olivia, trying to say, now look, does she really love you? Look at all you've done. Look at what she's done. I loved the way that one came out.
Yeah.
That was my favorite scene. I don't feel, this wasn't a super emotional role for me. I mean, we went through emotions, but I feel like my favorite scene was with Scott as well. It was that one. And we already talked about it, but I mean, just being able to connect with you in that way, like it felt really good. It felt like person to person, but we were in our roles. So it was great. I loved it.
Oh yeah. Watching that back when y'all was doing that scene, I was watching it pretty much over Charlie's shoulder, but it's like you really, Olivia, you really look like things were going, you could see things going in your head. Like, maybe he's right. You know, I mean, it's like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. It was just so good. And Scott, I mean, I give
you know, that's all the props. It's so hard because like those are such small things in such a big room and you don't really get to see any of her stuff. And so like, I don't know how to explain it other than
people are going
to
see that.
Yeah, we see it, Olivia.
No.
I'll be real with you.
It was just hard for her to have those moments because she...
Olivia, have you watched the movie? Have you watched it?
Yeah.
Oh, you did? All right.
But I'm one of those people who like, I don't know, you know.
You're being your own.
There's always stuff.
I haven't watched it.
Yeah. But I don't get to be with you guys. So I watched it.
Okay.
Whoa.
But you're not going to be there?
No.
What? Are you going to cry now or what are we doing here?
Yeah, cry now.
But I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it's not completely off the table, but like it's on a Monday and
sure.
I mean, I'll be with you in spirit.
But this is what I wanted to say though. I mean, I have to agree with James though on this though, Olivia. Like, I ended up like you were playing with my emotions here when I was watching. I'm like, is she really gonna go through with Scott's character here, or is she not? Is she part of this cult? Is she not part of it? And I'm going through the motions of like, is she? Isn't she? I'm like,
it was all
this
Scott.
It was
just
great.
Had so much to react to. Listen, it was all him. He's such a star. Honestly. Mm-hmm. He is such an incredible performer.
It was a joint effort there, I tell you, because I was feeding off what you were giving me, and you were giving me great stuff.
Oh yeah, it was great. The tension between you two were, it was really good. Yeah, it gives you chills. I mean, it really does.
Yeah.
Let's see, Your Name Horror Podcast says. Dang, Olivia, I was the person I was, you were the person that he was most looking forward to meeting.
Oh, well, thank you. We're right here.
I know.
We're
okay, right so here. Listen, I have to fly from Charleston. Okay, I have to fly from Charleston and I have to bring the baby. So, yeah, I know. I don't know. But just because it's on a Monday, I think if it was a weekend, I might have made it. Work a little bit because then the hubby could have watched the kids, but I'm hoping someone can FaceTime me and just like set me in a corner and I'll like
I have one more thing I want to talk about, and it's this effect that happens in the movie, and I want to know the process of how you came across that, especially with it being CGI. And it's a CGI within an indie project that I haven't seen before, ever being done, because it would go over budget. The way you did it was perfectly well executed to the point of like, all I need to see is this little small part, and that's all the audience needs to see, and that's it. It was perfect.
So on that, it kind of piggybacks on what I was saying earlier. With what happened with the contacts, I was open to the CGI using visual effects, and we are in the scene, and in the script, what you're talking about, the character walks up, and all we see is his feet and his legs, walking up to Annie, Chloe, to Annie's character. And as we're shooting it, or as we're about to shoot it, because I'm now thinking in terms of using visual effects, I thought, wouldn't it be cool if we could do this? And so we shot it like normal. And then later, when I was talking to Chuck, I was like, hey, on this particular shot, can we do this? Would you be able to do it? And he's all like, I don't know. Let me, I think I can. And we went through several iterations of it, until we got to what you saw in the film. And he was able to make it happen, and then it looks awesome.
Amazing. It does. It really looks fantastic. Yeah. Did you want to say anything, Charlie? I'm just wondering.
No, I remember that. Cause I remember the key note that we had when we were setting that up. Jason was like, I just want a low shot on the feet coming out of the darkness into the light and the reveal. And I was like, oh yeah, that's easy to set up. And then I remember him like, wouldn't it be cool? And that's where he kind of threw that idea out when he was thinking in that manner. And I was like, yeah, so let's shoot it two different ways. We shot it one with a deep focus, and we shot it again with a shallow focus. That way I made sure Chuck had a lot of options, or at least not a lot, but he had options in post, which is going to be the easiest for him to manipulate that footage. But yeah, I remember that, because when he first told me, I was like, that would be really cool if we can do it. So.
Okay. So
there's two big visual effects shots that we were able to do. There's that one, and then the other one when the wind blows through Chloe, and then behind her.
I love that one.
The thing happens.
Yeah.
By the way,
WTF moment.
That's actually a director cameo.
But that was actually my WTF moment. Is like, I was not expecting it, and it was more shocking than it did scare me. So I really love that. But yeah, guys, I'm gonna just be real with you. I enjoyed it. The runtime is perfect with it. It didn't drag at all. It was everything that I was wanting in a horror movie. And this is one of those films that I'm gonna check out over and over again. As a matter of fact, I watched it over probably 20 times just from my review. So now I'm gonna show my wife so that way she can get scared by Scott, and so therefore she can also rave about how awesome he is and what he does.
Show her this so she knows what I'm really like.
Okay, I sure will. But
we all know what you really like, Scott.
Well, there's that too. So.
But what I want to say is this though, like the very opening scene when I see you, Scott, up beside that bar, and you're like this waving. I'm like, okay, this is Children of the Corn vibes too that I'm getting.
Yes.
Yeah, all in all, great film, Jason. You definitely did a great job. The dialogue is relatable as well. It feels like everyday conversation that I would actually have with other people, so that makes it even more relatable. And if I can actually have, if the dialogue is like that, I'm sold instantly. And, Marilyn Knapp commented though too, I just want to mention this real quick. She said backwards is crazy fun. Filming it backwards was fun for her as well. Yeah, man, you have a great crew with you. You guys are family. You guys always have smiles on your faces. You guys always give Jason 110%. He gives you guys 110%. Always.
Very, very thankful to everyone. It's incredible.
Seriously. I cannot praise this movie enough. I sent this film off to my friend who, Midnight Cinema, to review your film. So hopefully he'll get around to doing that soon. He's a little under the weather, but I know that he's going to love this. So. Is there anything that you guys want to do, any kind of shout outs or anything like that, before we end?
I got one. January 1st, a movie came out called The Whispers. It's Charlie Brady's movie. I want to give a plug out for that. I finally watched it last night, and Charlie, amazing job, dude.
I'll watch it after this. And then I'll record your dress to kill. Oh, this is so exciting.
Maybe. Yeah. Some of the shots that you had, Charlie, in that thing with the animals, and I don't know how you got them it was absolutely stunning just to watch that, and then the way you shot that thing to make it look like the times of 1800s and stuff like that, man, I give you props again. Thank you so much for letting me be in it. And, but I just wanted to shout out to Charlie for his movie coming out on January 1st called The Whispers. And, it was phenomenal. Thank you so much.
Currently playing on Fossum and Amazon Prime.
Great. I know what I'm doing.
Please go watch it. It's amazing. Yep.
Okay. Yep. All right, guys. Well,
this is Charlie too. Charlie and Steve were amazing. It was such a privilege to work with them. They were so lovely and amazing. And yeah, they're immensely talented. And we were really lucky to have them on set.
And guys, all the cast that's not here, they're phenomenal. Yeah. Everybody.
Top to bottom, the cast in this is amazing.
The cast and crew was top notch. And, you know, everybody doesn't get to come on podcast, but I'll tell you right now that they're not being left out by any means.
No, Marilyn is a knockout. Every single time I see her on screen, she's always got something different to deliver.
I was a few years younger.
That was great.
And then like Sierra Ebert with that incredible performance at the top of the
show. Yeah. Love it.
Oh, I mean, you really thought he was having a kid, dude.
Yeah.
Holy.
And Anna Hardwick too.
Anna, oh my God.
Anna's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Anna did. Yeah, everyone.
We made a movie.
We did.
Yes, you guys did. And it was great. Good.
And the casting of this thing, I mean, you know, to have like young Anna and young, all the different people, you know, the older and the young one. I mean, the casting was spot on. I mean, they could have been each other. I mean, it really could have. I mean, you could see it. It was really
good.
Yeah.
Let's see here. The Unnamed Horror Podcast says, "Same John. I've watched this about 7 times."
Wow.
Whoa.
That's amazing. That makes us happy to hear.
Yeah.
I really love what you guys are doing, and I do want to have you guys back on again in the future. Seriously.
Absolutely.
John, I want to do a shout out, to you and, you know, all the people out there that have shown us this awesome amount of love to review, this film. Like without you guys, nobody would ever hear about it. Nobody would ever like see it. And it's so important. You know, for this to happen, because we are close to a distribution deal. And like when it does happen and when it does come out, it shows like yours that is going to, help make the difference in getting out there. So thank you so much.
Yeah.
I appreciate you, man.
The more podcasts we can be on, the better it is. I've got one coming up from LA, you know, that I'm going to be on next week. Jimmy Starr, he's going to have me back on to talk about this film. I cannot wait. So the more people that get us out there, the better off we are. And we appreciate you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
It's an honor and a privilege to be able to watch y'all's film and watch you guys grow as actors, actresses, productions. I mean it. I give props to every single person behind the scenes, not just in front of the camera. That's my biggest thing as well. Whenever I'm doing a show, I shout out people that are working behind the scenes and even in front of the camera as well, because those people behind the scenes are also just as big as the people in front. And it just means so much to me that you guys allowed me and entrust me with your movie and your art to be able to review it in a fair and great fashion. So thank you to you guys, because without you, I wouldn't be doing whatever I would be doing right now. I do have one. I know I keep on saying I have one last question, but.
Oh, good, man.
But Jason, this is for you. When can people expect to watch this?
I don't have an answer for that yet. Hopefully, by the middle of the year.
Okay.
That's my goal is for it to be available by the middle of the year. We do have a couple screenings. The first one is sold out. That's the big premiere, January 27th in my birthday.
Woo! Yep.
Yeah, we share a birthday.
Yep. Twins.
Twinsies. January 27th in Fayetteville. That screening has been sold out. The next screening after that is February 22nd in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And then there's two more screenings that I'm not able to officially announce yet. One of them is going to be in early March in Iowa City. And then the next one is going to be in Eureka Springs. But I don't have like the details yet.
Okay. So whenever I get a release date, I always do this, even with short films that are not being released or anything, I'll put it into the description and pin it. So that way people can see, can know it. Okay. That way it'll help you be able to, get your film out there and other people will know when to expect it. So. Awesome. That's a little extra things that I do for other indie filmmakers, stuff like that. So that's going to be it as far as the show goes. I'm going to be back again at 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time on Sunday doing my Dexter review for Dexter Original Sin. I'm also doing another show on Monday. I'll have a couple of other movie reviewers coming on the show to review Practical Magic. That's Fiction Fixation Podcast is going to be on there with me reviewing Practical Magic. We're going to do that scene by scene. We're first going to do it with nostalgia. Then we're going to strip away the nostalgia and review it with modern day lenses. And then on Wednesday, I'll be doing my top 10 or top 5 anticipated films of 2025. So that's everything that's going over here at Movie Lovers Tonight. Also, to give my co-host a shout out over there at Rossi's Clubhouse. She's going to have an R&B rap singer on her show at Rossi's Clubhouse at 7 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And always until next time, guys, have a great and safe night. And bye-bye.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.